Now on to our bloggers roundtable. This week, the blogosphere is abuzz with news that private security firm Blackwater was banned from doing business in Iraq, then unbanned. The GOP snubs black voters and the latest O.J. Simpson drama. With us is Juliet Ochiang of the blog Baldylocks, Lynn D. Johnson, senior editor of the online magazine FastCompany.com. She also blogs at LynnDJohnson.com. And self-described vigilante pundit Baratunde Thurston. He's a blogger for several sites, including the Huffington Post, and he writes for Jack and Jill Politics under the pseudonym Jack Turner. We should mention that two of his blogs just won the Black Web Awards, including Best Political News Blog. So welcome and congratulations, Baratunde.
Thank you very much, Farai. How are you doing?
Good to be here.
So, O.J. Simpson drama. I know there's more pressing news of the day. I promise we'll get to it, but I can't help but start things off with one of the more bizarre stories I've seen in a long time. So, talking about the trials and tribulations of O.J. Simpson, he was arraigned in Las Vegas this morning on several felony counts, including armed robbery and kidnapping.
Bail is set on this case at $125,000 total bail cash assurity. As a condition, Mr. Simpson, there are certain conditions to posting bond here. You're ordered to surrender your passport to your attorney, Mr. Galanter. Additionally, you're ordered to have no contact whatsoever with any co-defendants named in this case, any potential witnesses named in this case. Do you understand that order?
Yes, sir.
That was Justice of the Peace Joe Bonaventure Jr. Simpson didn't enter a plea during the hearing. The story started over the weekend when a sports collector said a group of armed men, including Juice, charged into his hotel room and took several items. Simpson said he was, quote, participating in a sting operation to get back some sports memorabilia that had been stolen from him. So, Baratunde, why are people so fascinated with this case?
You know, I heard it best similarly on YouTube, and I just like to say, just leave OJ alone. Okay, you know, it's been like 14 years since he committed a serious crime, and he's out of practice. And I just think you're just lucky he committed this crime for you people, you know? In all seriousness, I really don't even want to talk about O.J. I'd rather talk about why we're talking about O.J. I got two text messages from CNN this week announcing all sorts of developments in the case. They've got evidence, you know, investigators and legal, consultants telling us all about these angles. Where were they when Americans are getting yanked off the street with no prosecution, with no declaration of crimes charged against them? This is a big distraction. We have a real war going on. It's kind of annoying. It's not 1994 anymore. You know, I'd rather just move on this one. I have nothing else to say about OJ directly.
Well, Juliet, you know, if Britney Spears can blanket the airwaves, I mean, is this a race issue where the mainstream media is trying to still dig away at OJ Simpson, or is this just part of the celebrity culture, or both?
I think it's part of the celebrity culture. The fascination that we have with celebrities and when they misbehave. O.J. Simpson has been a very big pain in everyone's craw for the last 12 years. That said, like Baratunde, I'm not looking forward to the next few months. I'm really not wanting to deal with O.J. I wish he would go away, whether it's go back into back to Florida or back to jail. Doesn't make me any difference.
So are you blogging about it, or are you just saying no?
No, I'm not blogging about it at all.
Lynn, what about you?
I mean, the brother has some serious issues. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, it's really a case of how we're fascinated with celebrity. It's not about demonizing O.J., you know, as it was 14 years ago, or as we tended to look at it 14 years ago. Now it's just, you know, OJ's crazy. And as Juliet said, let's do away with him, whatever it is. Let's not put him in the press anymore. Let's really not deal with this brother anymore.
Well, Baratunde, is this kind of like a Clarence Thomas thing where black people supported OJ and then they were like, oh, no, we made a mistake here?
You know, that's a great point. It's one of our bloggers at Jack and Jill, Jill Tubman, just posted before we went live today, saying, you know, there was a very easily accepted narrative back in the day that a lot of black folks, you know, O.J. represented something. You know, he represented someone who came from nothing and made a big deal out of himself. He made money. He was classy. He was funny. He was talented. And to see him fall hurt a lot of black people. And we rallied to his defense, many of us. I can't speak for all black people, obviously. And then we were very disillusioned, and a lot of people were happy, you know, when he had that civil case brought against him. What I see the return of this story as is in a time when we have serious injustice befalling people who are not famous in our community. You know, this is really a media decision to go back to the cheap news coverage, the easy sensationalism, and bring back that story that made a lot of these cable networks famous in the first place. I mean, that white Bronco made Greta Van Susteren and all these people who continue to return to that story. So.
Juliet, I'm actually going to move us to a different topic. So next week, the GOP presidential candidates are set to debate on PBS for something called the All-American Presidential Forum, hosted by Tavis Smiley. Tavis says to date that GOP frontrunners Mitt Romney, John McCain, Rudy Giuliani, and Fred Thompson have said that they are not going to attend, and Spanish language network Univision postponed their planned GOP debate this month when Republican candidates snubbed them as well. So what's going on with the GOP? Are they trying at all to court African-American and Latino voters?
As far as I know about the situation, the four candidates say that there is a scheduling conflict, but I think that I agree that it's a mistake to miss out on these types of forums. GOPers kind of do not want to deal with advocacy groups, but they need to address the concerns of both Hispanics and Black Americans.
Well, Baratunde, there has actually been some internal criticism from the Republican ranks. You've got Newt Gingrich, Ken Melman, who was the former head of the RNC. They're both like, "Yo, we need the Black and Latino votes. Step up, folks." Do you think that's going to change the game?
I hope it does, actually. I mean, I think at this point in the party's history, the Republicans cannot afford to leave any vote behind. You've got six House Republicans resigning, two senators resigning. The president's polls at an all-time low, and it just seems the height of arrogance to think you can just turn off huge, growing demographic segments of your constituency or potential constituency. So it's kind of a shame. And the fact that they fall back on this scheduling issues is just funny to me. As a comedian, I have to like the use of that line. Because it's a Black debate. You can show up late. You know, somebody can talk about CP time.
You're so wrong.
But I am happy that Melman and Gingrich, and this is one of the few times you'll hear me say that I'm happy and Gingrich and Melman in the same sentence, but that they're going to call their boys on this, because it really is unacceptable. And it doesn't just need to be progressives or Black people, even Black Republicans, calling them out on it.
Lynn, is this just practical? I mean, the African-American vote is almost always 80%+ for Democrats, sometimes 90%+. Is it just like, well, you know, we just can't waste time on this?
Right. Well, I have to say I'm not surprised by this at all. I think, you know, they're not expecting African-Americans and Latinos to vote for them, so why court them? At the same time, you know, there will be a great message sent that there will be podiums up there empty. I really appreciate that Tavis is going to do that. And at the same time, I'm also thinking about the fact that Gingrich is being so outspoken. I'm wondering if he's about to throw his hat into the race, if he wants African-Americans to consider him.
Juliet, what do you think?
I think he is. And I think that it was smart of him to come out and say, this is a mistake. You need to put forth a conservative message and not be afraid of possibly getting booed, possibly getting heckled, or be afraid of anything, being afraid of sitting before a person and putting forth a message that they may not agree with. Tavis has given them an opportunity to convince Blacks and Latinos that maybe the GOP has a message that resonates within them.
So I want to actually stay with you, Juliet, and move on to another topic, Blackwater. So this week, Iraqi authorities announced they were expelling Blackwater USA, private security firm that was involved in a deadly shooting in Baghdad. But then they backtracked and said, you know, it's okay, let's just suspend operations until an investigation is complete. Now, Juliet, you're retired Air Force. You didn't go to Iraq this time or last time. But considering that some of these private security companies perform duties that the military generally does, they are allowed effectively at this point into armed combat. Is it appropriate for them to have so much power? And does that undermine the military in any way?
I'm not sure about the appropriateness of the power. I don't think that it undermines the military per se. What I am concerned about is that there are going to be civilians under the auspices of the United States government over there who don't necessarily always behave. And who are they subject to? Are they? They're certainly not subject to the UCMJ. If there's a contract, there's a license.
Now, the UCMJ, just to clarify, is the military courts, right?
Correct. Civilians aren't subject to the UCMJ. They aren't subject to Iraqi law under the terms of the license. So if they commit an error, who are they subject to?
Great question. Baratunde, what about this whole idea that the U.S. is potentially turning over some roles that the military should be performing?
You know, that's one of the most slippery messes we've gotten ourselves into. You know, this incident just highlights how much the government has outsourced, you know, government functions to private companies. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't want to come across as sort of knee-jerk reacting against that. But what is a bad thing is when that process is done with no openness, with no transparency, with no national dialogue. So all you get are the horrible stories. I mean, you know, we saw Blackwater in New Orleans, and there were probably some terrible things that happened, but you also admit they out-responded the first responders. I mean, they got there before FEMA, before the government, before even the Red Cross, and they actually did do some good things. So I'm not a big fan of the idea of outsourcing overall, but I think what's more important in this case is that we clarify what rules they are subject to, because Blackwater itself isn't just bad. They have a contract with somebody, and that somebody is the U.S. government.
Now, Lynn, I want to stay with Baratunde referenced New Orleans and Blackwater going in there. There are actually some blogs that have speculated that Blackwater may have been involved with shootings of civilians. Now, these allegations are not official. Nothing's been proven. They're generally considered more on the conspiracy theory side. Have you heard about those allegations, and why are they circulating?
I believe, you know, yes, I've heard of them, and I believe, of course, they're circulating because now we have this news about what happened in Iraq, and we know that Blackwater was in New Orleans. So, of course, we're going to point fingers. We're still trying to figure out everything that happened in New Orleans because New Orleans is still a mess. It's still a problem. And we're still looking for ways to point our fingers and directions to point them in.
So, Baratunde, considering that there's so much news that's confirmed about these private security companies like Blackwater, does it actually undermine the conversation to talk about something like the allegations about New Orleans?
I don't think it undermines the conversation. I think anything that points again to this issue of, you know, licensed private security personnel, mercenaries, hired killers, whatever you want to call them, helps us realize that we have too many unanswered questions, that we've jumped headlong into privatizing the militarization not only of other countries but of our own cities with no, you know, conversation going on about it. I mean, it's not just the Blackwater that was, you know, doing things in New Orleans in an armed fashion. In fact, you had the governor, a Democratic governor down there, saying, really proudly displaying that we have the Arkansas National Guards here. They've got their M16s. They're ready to shoot to kill, and they'll do it if they have to, and I expect they will. And that's, you know, a U.S. government representative talking about a U.S. government service provider. So there's another issue of just how do we respond to disasters, which is even bigger than that. I think, you know, bringing up this Blackwater case here is a good thing because it helps us ask those questions and make sure we understand just who are they accountable to.
Well, gentlemen and ladies, that's a wrap for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Baratunde Thurston blogs for several sites, including the Huffington Post. He also writes for Jack and Jill Politics under the pseudonym Jack Turner and spoke with us from NPR's New York studios. Also talking to Lynn D. Johnson, senior editor of the online magazine FastCompany.com. She also blogs at LynnDJohnson.com. And Juliet Ochiang of the blog Baldilox. She came into our NPR West studios. You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation continues. Our online series Speak Your Mind gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind.